Hey, everybody, and welcome back to The Overlay, a poker podcast brought to you by CCG Poker Radio and the Paramount Social Club in Houston, Texas. Is that how you say Texas in Texas? Texas.
I've never been.
Is that offensive?
I've been to Texas.
To Texans?
I'm not really sure.
We do have a...
Do we have any Texans listening?
We do have a solid Texas listening audience.
Well, I wonder what they think of me.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I don't want to know.
Because like everybody in Chicago knows what you look like and they know what I look like and they can see us and they know what's going on. But now it's right. Like there's this whole group of people. Like some of them know me in Texas because I go, but they don't always know and put it together. It's weird. It's like radio anonymity.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm just a voice. This is great.
You're just a floating head. All right. Episode 27. We're up to 27 episodes. I know I say this every week. Like I'm surprised that we have 27 episodes, because that's like a half a year, a little bit more, that we've been doing the podcast now.
Yeah, we just hit the
like 6 months
over the halfway point.
Yeah, it's crazy. We are excited to do it. We've had really great turnouts, and we do appreciate everyone who listens. We're going to do our subscribe now note in the early part of the episode so we can get you late. The people who just hang up on us after like 3 minutes, like these guys suck. Hang
right,
up.
Get the plug in now.
Get the plug in now. So please, 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 if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, take a moment to just subscribe and hit that 5-star review. You don't even have to write a review. Just hit 5 stars. It's great. It really helps the podcast out in searchability, and it makes us seem more important than we really are. Plus, it makes Brandon and I feel super good about what we're doing. If you're in the Chicagoland area, check out Chicago Charitable Games, ccgpoker.com. Come to an event. Put a face to a name or a voice to a name. Or a voice to a face to a name and a voice to a face. Either way, come see what Brandon and I look at. Come say hi to us. Let us know you listen to the show and you're a longtime listener, but first time player at CCG. That would be great. Or if you're down in the Texas area, check out Paramount Social Club at ParamountSocial.com, a wonderful live card room in the Northwest Houston area of Texas. It's beautiful down there. I love it. I like to play all down there. We talked briefly last week about what ROE means. So they got a little bit of everything down there in Texas. Plus, if you make it out to Texas and you beat my pinball score, you get free membership for a month. That's official, folks. Free membership for a month if you can beat Ken's pinball score on the Addams Family, which is my favorite pinball game of all time.
That was quite the plug.
Yeah.
Not going to lie. You should like clip that, record. Like you could never do it that good again.
I mean, you don't think so?
That and just play that at the beginning. It was a little long, but
it's not like our normal beginning before we start recording. And I was like, all right, cool, Brandon, this is what we're going to briefly talk about. We do like a 1-minute rundown of what the episode's going to be. And they're like, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Let's get into it. And then I was like, all right, cool. You ready to record? And you're like, yeah. And then I go 30, 29, 20. And I do the same joke every time. And it's like, gets increasingly less funny.
Yeah, it was very funny the first time.
Yeah,
I
like,
think you're going to count
in
the
like
three,
March
when
we haven't
from 30.
Yeah, we hadn't seen each other in like forever, and you're like, "Oh man, that was great. Great office reference. Why would you choose to count down from 30?" And then now it's just not funny anymore. But yeah,
right.
I feel
and
like
you switch
I have
it up and you're
it.
Like 199. Yeah. I'm like, this is making it even worse.
Yep. You're like not funny anymore, KJ.
Nope.
You do say
it'd be really funny if you were just like 3-2-1. I'm like,
on a personal level, Brandon finds me to either be extremely funny or extremely not funny. There's no middle ground.
It's hit or miss. It's
like,
hit or miss.
Sometimes I'll say a joke and I was like, huh? Brand's like, home run, grand slam, walk off. That was great. And then other times you're like, meh, I don't know. Not really that funny. Try again.
Right. You're consistent. It's like a 2 or a 10. There's just
like highs
no
and lows.
Like
I don't hit many fives or sixes. I get a lot of tens. I get a lot of twos. Not a lot of fives or sixes.
No.
Episode 27 is the
what are we talking about today?
Tournament Directors Edition second level course. So we're going to hit up a couple of really just one main rule that I find that most people get wrong. So it's our Tournament Directors 200 level course. But as a bonus in here, we're going beyond the rule book. That's what this
there
one's called. Tournament Directors Beyond the rule book, rules that are not written in any way, shape, or form. This episode is brought to you by Ken's awesome action movie voice guy, right? Like, you like that one or no?
That's a 2.
That was a 2. That was perfect. That's a 2. So, folks, you can see Ken has 10s and I have 2s. Sometimes I run them by Brandon and he doesn't like them, but we want to go beyond the rule book. rules and things that happen in a tournament that tournament directors are ultimately going to be, you know, have to figure out. And there's no rules on this situation. It's so unique and so specific and so weird. You just kind of go with your gut, which is why the first rule of Tournament Director's Fight Club is the tournament director can basically do whatever he wants in the fairness of the game, right?
Yes. And being a tournament director at CCG, I mean, you got to remember, guys, these are volunteer dealers. These are not
unpaid.
For the most
part. It's like an unpaid internship. It's great.
Right. And the problem with that is obviously it has its positives that they are unpaid and volunteering for a good cause. But the negatives are these guys are not casino trained. These guys are not professionals.
You mean not the, so, yeah, it's like the TDs are like the cream of the crop. The dealers are what you're talking about, are volunteers.
I'm talking about the dealers.
Yeah, so there's things that come up and happen, which we'll get into in the second half of the episode here.
That never normally wouldn't come up at a casino.
Right. It's like, all in, and I dropped the stub, and I just mucked all the cards. Like, what do you mean? How does that happen? Like, it doesn't happen right, in a casino. Like, right. You know? Oh, I dropped the cards, didn't call floor, and then realized there's a card down on the floor. We've been playing for an hour with a 50-card deck.
Or you know, I prematured the turn. I prematured the turn. I didn't call the floor, went to fix it myself, and then accidentally exposed the river prematurely.
Correct.
Now
it's
what,
like,
do I do?
Hey,
it's like, well, I could fix this.
Right. The light turned yellow. I'm driving a school bus, and I decide, and I bumped the guy in front of me. Well, instead of just stopping and exchanging information, I drove off of the bridge.
Right.
And then you're like, floor? Well, you just killed a busload full of kids. What do you mean? Why do you call floor when you just hit the little bump? That was a 10, right? You like that one?
That was better.
Okay, there's a perfect example of Ken's 10s and 2s. But let's get into the second level course, because I want to get into just a little meaty parts of kind of the advanced
let's start here
tournament directors.
Me and you disagree, but I don't know if we disagree.
We disagree.
I don't know the rule. I don't really know. You can explain this one.
Oh, boy. This kind of goes on, again, more specific rules on when a player can ask to see another player's hand while in a tournament. Let's stick to tournament, although cash games can be a little bit different. There's always kind of like some subsection rules, but mostly the Tournament Directors Association, which is what many, many poker rooms use, and that's what we're going to discuss now, is TDA rules, Tournament Directors Association. What they qualify as, when can a player ask to see another player's hand and actually get confirmed that the dealer has to show it? So can we think of a few? Do we want to do a couple of scenarios? How do we want to do, or you just want me to give you the rule and how it works?
Yeah, give me the rule, how it works.
Any player with a live hand at showdown can ask to see another player's hand. So let's go down. Play in a tournament. Bets 500 on the river. I call. You decide to show aces full of deuces, which is the second nuts, because technically deuces would be the nuts, whatever the case may be, quad deuces, right? So it's not the nuts, but it's close. Second nuts. You show over full house, aces over deuces. And me, as the player, decides I'm the other guy who called the $500 bet. I had a flush. I'm a dummy. And I go to muck my hand because I don't want to give out free information. There's no all in. Cards didn't get tabled. Guy rolls over because he's the first guy to do something. And right, he bet first. It's his action. He's also first in line to show. He shows his hand. Ace is full. I can't beat ace is full. So I go to muck. Random Joe Schmo goes, hey, I want to see that guy's hand. Does he have a right to ask to see that hand? It was a called bet. Does he have a right to see that hand?
So no, in the rule book.
Correct. No, correct. He doesn't, because that right. player does not have a live hand. They do not have the right to ask to see that hand. The answer is no. You do not get to see it. Muck your cards, okay. Sir. He mucks them. Now, let's say, let's switch it up a little bit and go with the unethical side of this. The guy who has the aces full. I bet 500. You, Brandon, call with your flush. I show my aces full. You go to muck, and I say, I want to see that hand. Do I have a right to ask to see that hand?
Yes.
Per the rule book, can I ask to see that hand and does the dealer have to show?
Yes.
The answer is yes. Now, before we get into the ethical side of this, the reason that is true is because I'm a player. I have tabled my hand. I can ask to see any other called cards, I can ask to see them. Yes or no?
Yes.
You can ask. The problem is, it is unethical and it is super negative EV for the game. It causes a lot of issues and problems. It's unethical to ask. You won the pot. Don't ask to see another player's cards. You won. Win with grace. Be humble. Take the pot. Accept the pot. Let the man fold his flush without giving away any free information that he really is supposed to show, but he doesn't have to because you show it first. I can't beat it. I muck. You're stunned into silence.
I am stunned. I'm stunned. Oh, I'm not stunned. It's just, yeah. I would never ask to see another guy's hand. No. You can't win the pot and get the information too.
Which, like, we argue. I think that's where you had claimed that we argue about it, because per the rule book, I can ask to see it. Now, does that make me a jerk? Absolutely. But now there is a caveat to that rule, right? So let's say that happens. I'm the jerk. I call. I bet. You call. I show a full house. You show a flush. You want to fold. And I go, I want to see that hand. And the dealer says, well, you know, and then you bitch, calls the floor over. Well, you know, he has the right to ask. He can see that. It's a called hand. He's got live cards. Flip him over. Shows the flush. Brando's super pissed. Okay. 20 minutes later, me and Brandon get in the hand again, right? Same scenario. I've got a flush. You've got two pair. I always end up the hero in this situation because I'm describing it. And you're cool. Always the villain.
Even no worries.
I'm really the villain in this one and you're the hero. I don't know. Same scenario. I bet, you call, I show a flush, you've got two pair, you go to muck again. Nice hand, sir, which means go F yourself in poker talk, is what Brandon is telling me. And again, absolutely. I go, I want to see that card again. At that point, you refuse to show, floor comes over. What happens then? This is kind of the caveat. This is something that's ongoing. What do we do at that point?
Well, this is a great question. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of poker rooms that have rules in place that you can only do it a certain amount of times in a time frame. But assuming that there wasn't, I mean, I would have to show it again, right?
Yeah, you would. So, I mean, that's the idea, is that some places have put this into place that, because technically it's like a once in a blue moon, like you can ask to see it once, but like if you're going to do it every single hand and slow down the game, the casino is going to say, okay, you have a right to do this. However, you're only allowed to do this very specific scenario of where you won the hand and you want to ask to see a losing player's hand, a losing player's cards. You're only allowed to do that once an hour, once a dealer shift, once a day, once every decade. Whatever the case may be, they're going to have some kind of rule in place that says you cannot do this every single time because it slows down the game, because it's negative EV, because it is very unethical. It is shitty to do and nobody likes it. The only thing I can compare it to is golf. You're allowed to hit a provisional. A provisional means that I hit a ball, I think it's close to out of bounds by the rules of golf. They've changed slightly, but the rules of golf, one of my options is I can re-tee and hitting three. I take a one-shot penalty and I'm hitting three off of the tee. It sucks. Out of bounds is like a super penalty. I hate it. I hit one close to out of bounds. Is it in or out? I don't know. You better hit a provisional. Provisional means I'm going to tee off again, hit my third shot in hopes of getting that one in the fairway. And then if I find my first ball, I don't have to... You know what I mean? Like, I don't have to go back to the tee and hit again. It's called a provisional. All right, I'm going to play the provisional, go over there. It speeds up the game. So my point of this story is, theoretically, I can hit a provisional anytime I want. So let's say I hit a ball, I hit a shitty shot, and I just want to hit a practice. I go, I'm going to hit a provisional. You don't, that's, even though it's a rule, like, you don't do it. It's so unethical, and it slows down the game, pisses everybody off. It's not fair to the rest of the field.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of a similar thing. Like, yeah, you can do close. It. In a very specific situation, and that rule exists so that if you think there's collusion going on or things of that nature,
well, chip dumping,
that's why the rule exists and you can ask. But it's a very specific, in general, I would say you should not be asking to see a player's cards in any way, shape, or form unless you feel like there's something going on. And in that case, don't be your own investigator. Just ask the floor to do it for you, correct?
Correct. That's the easiest way to save you from being the asshole bad guy.
Even if you want to do it like away from the table, be like, hey, these two guys are doing something weird. Like, they always get three guys in the pot and then the third guy folds and then like he makes a big bet and then the guy ends up folding on the river.
Right. And the guy with no chips always wins the pot, or the guy with a lot of chips is always losing to the guy with the little chips.
Right. It seems
nobody ever has to show their cards.
Right. Seems super weird. Or it's like he didn't call an all-in bet for like a very small amount, and it seems like it should have been called, but it was just the two of them, and they seem to be buddy. I don't know. So, I mean, that's where the collusion, the slow playing, the soft playing goes in. No, I guess not slow playing. Soft play and collusion coming in, chip dumping, is why you're allowed to ask to see another player's cards if you have a live hand. But, again, these are the reasons why.
It's not built in the rule book for you to just get free information every time.
The rule is in place to stop cheaters from cheating, and it's a word I don't use very often in referencing poker because I hate that word, but that's what the rule is in place for. You and I argued about the fact, I'm like, well, it's within the rule book, and you're like, no, it's supposed to be there for collusion, not for you to get free information from a guy, because that's, you won the pot,
you want to see his,
right? Yeah. You don't get the free information as well.
Yes,
that was the argument that we had, which is pretty good.
So, that, yeah, there's that. I mean, don't ask to see another guy's hand unless you think that funky stuff's going on.
And if you think funky stuff is going on, talk to the floor person.
Right.
Maybe even just away from the table if you don't want to be like the, feel like a snitch, even though you're not. I don't think that's what you should feel. But if you feel like something's funky going on, talk to the TD. Just be like, hey, you got a minute? I got to explain a situation. Could you maybe watch the table? Could you come over and see if you can notice this? Maybe ask the dealer, did they notice anything? Like, let them do the investigation. They're the ones that are going to make the ruling anyways, and they're going to have to do it no matter what. So, like, this is a good way to do it, because there's nothing better than when the TD gets called over, three guys are arguing about what the situation is, and everybody's got their side of the story. It's kind of a waste of time. They really got to go back anyways and talk to the dealer. Well, did you notice?
Correct.
Well, guys, in the future, we're going to be watching for this. So it's like you made this big stink, and now the table's, you know, all off kilter because you've got this argument going on between a few players, and the other players feel like they're getting kind of caught in the middle, and it's just a bad situation for all. So best case scenario, bring them out, talk to them, and go from there.
Agreed.
Beyond the rule book from the Overlay, a poker podcast. What is your first beyond the rule book rules question of the day, Brando?
It's my favorite. I'm already got a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. It's definitely the Mo hand.
Oh, you're going to steal the Mo hand? That sucks. I thought you were going to do the other one. No, it's yours. I don't think I was here for this, so go ahead.
I was. I don't even know what I did. Oh, my gosh. It's $115 sit and go.
Mm-hmm.
And they're heads up, playing it out, no chops, literally goes.
No chops would have been a good podcast show. We came up with a podcast name last week called No Nits Allowed, and
no chops
would have been a good one. Anyway, sorry to interrupt, go ahead.
First guy to act, all in. Second guy to act, call. This is the tournament on the line. Mm-hmm. For the win, all in and a call. But I don't know what Mo was talking to tell a story
for sure.
Watching the football game, it was at Toyota Park on the TVs. Whatever he's doing, mucks both hands in the muck before they flip him over. All in, call, muck, muck. Calls the floor. Hey, Brandon. Yeah, these guys both went all in, and then neither of them have cards anymore.
I just mucked both of them. I mucked both players' cards. They're gone.
Like, I think honestly, the players were even like laughing at this point. Like, clearly nobody had aces or kings or something. I mean, it was probably.
And
you know,
was this pre-flop or
King Jack?
Or,
it was pre-flop. Yeah,
okay.
Pre-flop.
So, yeah, I guess at that point, it's like, all right, kind of redo mulligan.
Right.
Mulligan hand.
But I just was so thrown off guard.
All in, call. Muck, muck.
Muck, muck. And I get over there, and both players' chips are all in, and nobody's got cards in front of them. And Mo's got the deck sitting down.
No, never good.
So, yeah, I mean, we just went with don't move the button, replay the hand.
Start over. Redo. Dummy do-over, as my dad used to call him.
Obviously, that's kind of a simple one because that's really the only
option. It's more funny than anything because it's a term of direct you love coming over. And it's funny. Whenever I try to do a floor call wherever I am, if it's in Texas or in Chicago and they want to ask my opinion on something, I can always tell how bad the situation is by how many players are looking at me as I come to the table. Have you ever noticed this? How many players are looking at me after floor has been called? Floor, I get up, I go to look, three guys are looking at me. All right, it's a medium situation. It's not great. It's not bad. Something's funky going on. And clearly it only affects a small portion of the table. Floor! I look over. There are 10 players looking at me. Or the 10 people. 9 players and a dealer.
And
I know
dealer.
This is a bad. This is a goof. This is beyond the rule book. I'm going to have to make up something on the fly and sound educated and smart and confident in my answers because they're going to rip me apart if I don't have something good. Or other times I hear, floor, and I call over. Nobody's looking at me, and they're like, there's
a
player
down.
We
had a question about left hand. Right. Oh, yeah, player down.
What do you mean? That's not a floor call. Call somebody else. This is not my department. Do something else. It's like calling the fire department to let them know that
the cat's stuck in the tree.
No, that's like a three. That's a three-player look. It's like calling the fire department because your Amazon packages didn't arrive. I don't know. Call somebody else. Call the Amazon guy because that's not me.
Right.
My favorite beyond the rule book situation. We were at somewhere in Elk Grove Village. This is how long ago it was. It was a super while ago, like 2009. Maybe even 2008. Yeah. And the famous Howard. You either know who Howard is or you don't. So I'm just going to leave it at that. You either know Howard or you don't. Howard is playing at a final table. It's a deep stack, $100 tournament. Probably had, it was a Sunday. It was like one of the first Sundays we did. And it was all the way up north in like RCG territory. So we were crossing enemy lines. So it wasn't a huge turnout. It was fairly small. And the place was pretty small. It was like in two different rooms. It was super weird. Anyways, not important. I don't know what happened because it was like a snug fit room. There's like a cash game going. There's like a sit and go going. And there's this final table of this deep stack going, but like maybe 4 people left. And all of the sudden, the table falls. It just collapses. I don't know if somebody kicked the leg or hit the folding table part of it, but the table just goes down and nobody was on that side of the table. All of the chips off of the table. All of them. Obviously, they call floor. I look over. The entire room is looking at me. So now I know this is a major, major screw up. I have no idea what to do here. So I was like, all right, let's get the table back up. We start pulling chips up. Now everybody's chip stacks are combined together. Like nobody has any idea. I start asking people, Howard, how many chips did you have? 380,000. Cool. Billy, how many chips did you have? 240,000. Cool. Mike, how many did you have? 740,000. Great. Sally, how many did you have? 110. I was like, cool. Add them up. It was like 6 million in chips. And I was like, not that that math adds up, but that's, I add up. I was like, okay, cool. Everybody, you have overplayed the chips in play by like 10x, which means it's impossible for any of you to have what you say you have. I propose maybe we just chop this thing 4 ways.
Right.
What do you think? 4 way chop? Because you just told me what chips you thought you had, and I'm adding the chips up that are in play currently on the table, only add up to 100,000 in chips, and you guys are like, we've got 800,000, and it's like it doesn't even come close to what you're saying. Every single person is lying by how many chips they have.
Right, everyone just doubled up. Everyone just doubled up.
I think everybody just 10x'd. They just went from like 100K to a million. It's a great way to do it. Knock over the table. I'm thinking, it's impossible. I have no idea what to do here.
So what did they do? Chop it up?
They chopped it up, yeah. Which was
I have another one that just happened last weekend when you were out of town.
Nice.
That I didn't really know what to do, and it was a 1-1 game, and it was a small pot, and nobody really cared, but it was a situation I'd never seen before. But maybe this one actually, there's a rule for it, and I just didn't know it. I'll try to go through it quickly. There was 4 to a straight on the board, so just queen, jack, 10-9, deuce. And the guy shows, kid shows 10-9 for 2 pair. There's like $28 in the pot, whatever. Mm-hmm. Kid shows 10-9 for 2 pair. Other kid goes to muck his hand, and like while he's mucking his hand, he has a 7 in there for a straight. He has whatever, 7-5 for, because it's queen, jack, 10-9, 8. Whatever, there's jack, 10-9, 8 on the board, so a 7 is a straight.
Right.
The kid
sucker
has a straight, doesn't know he has it,
right.
Mucks his cards. As he's mucking his cards, one of the cards goes sideways, and the 5 seat or the 4 seat
no.
at the table sees that he has a 7. Before the dealer can muck the hand, he doesn't know the cards. He mucks the cards in face down, and they just went kind of on its side for the 4 and 5 seat to see that he had a 7. The 5 seat's like, dude, he had a 7. The kid flips over his cards. He has a 7 for a straight. But now he went to muck his cards, mucked his cards, And then another player said that he had a
It's not really beyond the rule book because, I mean, there's stuff for this one. It's a a very unique situation. But let's go over the basics here. Let's start with step one. When are your cards mucked? Cash game, tournament, doesn't matter. When is a hand a dead hand, a mucked
hand?
When
the dealer kills it into the muck.
And by definition, that means when it is 100% identifiable. If I just throw my cards in the middle and then realize, oh, shit, I had a seven, and I grab them and flip them over, that's not a mucked hand. So many times you get called over and the player's like, he mucked, and then flipped over his cards, and then he won. Nobody ever calls floor when they lose the hand. And when it's always, you know, this situation. I was winning, now I lost because this guy folded, then realized he had a straight, so rolls over the straight, and are those dead hands? Well, the dealer touched them. The dealer doesn't count. The muck cards doesn't count. It's if they are 100% identifiable, that is a live hand. Now, if a dealer grabs them and puts them into the muck, and you go, oh, no, I had a seven, like, well, then those cards are gone. That's a dead hand. It doesn't matter. You didn't table them. You can't see them. How about like a funny one? Guy shows the six seat. Oh, man, look at this shitty. I was so close. And then mucks. Now, he didn't table his hand, right? I just showed the half of the table. Seven, eight of diamonds. He thought he was on a diamond draw. Didn't realize he hit a straight on the river and mucks it. And the guy with ace high is winning the hand. And then he goes, oh, no, wait, I had a seven. That's a straight. And then everybody, half the table goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. We saw his cards. It was 7-8. Does he actually, is that a mucked hand or not a mucked hand?
That's a muck because he didn't table it.
Mucked hand. He didn't table it. He just showed everybody and then mucked it, and the dealer put him in. They are no longer 100% identifiable, and that's that kind of key turn. 100% identifiable, meaning they haven't gone into the muck yet. They can be close to the muck, but they're not actually in the muck, even though they touched the muck. Doesn't matter. It's not a dead hand.
All right, so that's step one.
Right.
So it's a live hand.
It's a live hand.
Okay.
What was
that? That's it, just step one? Because I go into step two, one player per hand.
Okay, so yeah, that gets a little funky as well. One player per hand is where you might be beyond the rule book. So, and by definition, it's a live hand. If he rolls them over at that point, they're good. But where does the warning go? Does it go to the guy who tried to fold the straight and then realized he had a straight because another player told him he had a straight? What are the ethics and what are the rules of when you call another player's hand out? Let's hear from Brandon. Brandon? Over to you.
Well, see, this is where it gets funky because I could also argue that the kid's hand's dead because
of collusion.
Of collusion or just of the other player reading your hand for you and you not tabling it. The other player made you table the hand. Therefore, two players played that hand.
Correct.
You played that hand and mucked. The other player played that hand and got you to table it.
Right.
So two players played the hand.
Because you're only allowed to have one player per hand, right? Like that's just
correct.
A standard
that's
rule.
That's in the rules.
Yeah, you can't have two people trying to guess and see what you have. Oh, you have a straight draw. You should call. No, that's a bad boo-boo. We don't want to do that.
So,
but it's weird where it's like, because it just brings up another situation. Didn't you talk about how another player saw quads and then the guy folded? And you were like, should I tell somebody? And it wasn't you. It was a guy you knew telling you this story. And he was like, you know, do I tell somebody this guy just folded queens or quads? And it's like, well, I didn't even get a chance to speak up because he mucked so fast. But I saw it. He had eights and there were eights on the board. Like, he's got quad eights. No doubt about it. He got quad eights. What do you do?
Yeah, there's really quick to sum up the other side, to sum up the previous story. I call it a dead hand. Gave it to the guy with the two pair.
It's fair.
Because I said it was two players per hand. I was like, I'm sorry, dude. Like, you didn't see you had it. You mucked your hand. Like, just because he says you had it. You
it's a little bit of the combination. Like, and where
right,
that
it's
gets
two rules put together. And I just went in the best interest of the game.
Correct.
Is like the player with the hand who it was went to muck his cards because he didn't know that he had it.
Right.
So I shouldn't be punishing the guy with two pair. Because another player read his cards.
Right.
So there's that.
It's like the double whammy. Because like if I still had the cards and I'm looking at him, you know, you get the guy who's like looking at his cards, looking at the board, looks at the other hand. Looks at his cards, looks at the other hand. It's like, bro, make up your mind. What do you got? Either show the whole damn table your cards, let the dealer decide who wins, or fold. Whatever the hell you're doing of this middle ground of your hand is not, you know, not tabled, and you're just dicking around everybody trying to figure out what's going on. Just make a damn decision. In that case, let's say I've got my cards and I'm looking at them, and the guy next to me goes, you got to flush, just put them down. At that point, is that hand, would the situation have been different?
That's still alive. Yeah, it's different.
I mean, at that point, I would say, no, it's a live hand. You would give the warning to the other guy and say, hey, it's one hand, one player per hand. You can't, you're not supposed to do that. It gets a little weird because, again, it's beyond the rule book. I'm just trying to keep the integrity of the game. It's always about protecting the integrity of the game, but you really shouldn't be helping another player decide what he has, because that's really the dealer's job, is to help the player. But I always say, like, it's not the dealer's responsibility to call out your hand. If he says straight and you really had a straight flush and the other guy had a full house and you didn't realize you had a straight flush, you just thought you had a straight that turned into a flush, it's not the dealer's fault. Like, he'll do his best to call out the winning hand, but even there, there's mistakes.
You don't even know you have it? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I would say in that scenario, if my hand was still technically live, I would say, no, it's a live hand. Award him the pot. You should both feel bad. But in your situation where the guy mucked it, but it kind of flipped over and then it was like, oh shit, you got it. Like, I can see how you're like, nah, you mucked. Like, you're out. Sorry.
Yeah. Like, I understand it's a live hand.
You didn't even notice
the
other guy called it out. Like, it's not a tabled hand.
Yeah. So how much time do we got?
We got about 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
All right. So this quad situation.
Quads. Oh yeah. Quads. So tell us the story. Cause I gave a shitty recollection.
It's like 8-8 deuce, 8-3. Wow. That lightning just struck really close to me. Okay. Anyways, 8-8 deuce, 8-3. So there's 3 8s on the board, a deuce and a three. However, there's three way action, big old pot going to the river, three ways. Two guys who are acquaintances. We're not sure how close of friends they are, but they definitely know each other, slash played with them before, slash could be buddies, slash definitely aren't strangers.
Okay.
Are sitting next to each other, and it goes, it's them two, and then a third guy who's a complete fish, like actiony, like dumping his money, like the spot of the game. It's them three in a pot. And it goes, first guy to act pots it for $900 on the river. This is PLO, guys, by the way. Mm-hmm. So pots it for $900 on the river. Second guy is in the tank. Second guy mucks, quads, the nuts. And then the third guy calls 900 with pocket kings, which is the second nut full house. But the first guy had pocket aces for the nut full house. So it was the three hands in order were aces, quads, and then kings. And it went aces bet pot, quads folded, kings called.
And the guys who are friends were the quads and the aces?
The guys who are friends are quads and the aces. And in order it went aces bet pot, quads fold. Now,
and kings call.
And kings call. Now the question here is, The another player that is not one of these three players got up to use the washroom on the river while the middle guy with quads is looking at his cards, and he's 100% positive that the guy had an eight for quads, and then he mucked. So the question is, what do you do? Because the clear sense, there's like really two outcomes here. One, the guy didn't know he had quads, and he mucked because he didn't know he had quads. Option
which
two,
is possible. I mean, it's Omaha, possible, and you're like, oh, I got to play three. I can't make quads with 1-8. It's my favorite rookie mistake. That ain't true. You can make quads with one card in Omaha. You just choose any other random card you got, and I still got quads. Anyways, go ahead.
Yep. So, or maybe he didn't know. Option two is that
he did know.
He realized he was very smart and realized the situation that was going on and realized that his buddy's only going to get paid $900 on the river by the fish if he folds his quads.
Because if he calls with quads, the fish with kings folds because he knows he's got third place. No way my kings are good.
Or at least second place. Somebody's got aces or quads.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas one guy,
the third guy into the pot is very, because it happens. Yeah, it's just funny with PLO, and it's something that doesn't always happen with Hold'em. You can get a bluff through like that where like a guy folds a better hand to you and I like show kings and fold. And it's like, haha, I have nine high, and nine high is good. It's because you're the third person in the pot, and you're like, there's a pot, a call, and I'm looking at like third best here. I don't think I'm good. Like, one of these two guys has got to either have the aces or an eight, and my king's full are definitely no good, so I'm a fold. And you end up getting a bluff through, and you're thinking, oh, my God, I'm so pissed. So it does happen.
Right. It's basically like, if you know the first guy's bluffing and then you raise him, the next guy can fold like a full house because it just went like bet raise on the river. Now all of a sudden you get the third guy out because, you know, you showed aggression after aggression, so he can't be good. Then right. The first guy was bluffing, so it goes full fold, even though the third guy had the winner, but he could never know that because it's a shitty situation for the third guy because right. You're supposed to never be good.
Correct.
So anyways, back to the situation. Or, yeah, so those are the two outcomes. And then it's like, well, what do you do? And at what point do you do it? Because, like, if you say, all right, this is clearly unethical, there's collusion going on, there's no way a guy should ever fold quads, it's a $900 pot, I watched him recheck his hand, like, he clearly knows he has an eight, like, I need to say something. Do you say something right when he mucks? Because if he mucks quads, you need to be like, whoa, 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 stop. But then if you say stop, now it's the third guy's action on the river facing a $900 bet, and you're trying to stop the action in the middle of the game. So there's that. Or do you not say anything until after the hand? Well, after the hand, you can't prove anything.
Right. Now you're just an asshole. Like, I don't have an eight. You're a liar.
Right. Now, all the guys say is, dude, I didn't have an eight. Why are you looking at my cards?
Right.
And then all of a sudden, you look like the asshole. So really, it's really just
it's a very terrible situation.
Yeah. And it's like an ethics point. It's like, well, I can either ruin the integrity of this hand in a huge pot for the greater good of maybe catching these guys who are cheating, or I can just let it slide, or I can let it slide and say something afterwards and call them out, but then I know I have no evidence. So there's really no good way of doing it. So, like, the guy, ultimately, he was visiting Maryland live, He's a Chicago regular. He ultimately was like, you know what? I'm never going to see any of these guys again. Like, he just didn't say anything. Went to the washroom and cashed out an hour later. And, you know, it's one of those things. If it was your home casino, maybe you would be more likely to say something because you don't want this cheating to go on and on and on forever.
And again, it's beyond the rule book. Even as a player, we don't know what to do because it's the idea of, it's like, well, should I say something? Yes. Perfect way you explained it. Like, where, at what point are you supposed to stop the action? Be like, these two guys are doing something funky. Maybe it's a one-off. You know, it's like you got to give the players the benefit of the doubt. If it's something that seems to continually happen where it's like this scenario of like bet, fold, trying to lead
but
the stranger.
But how often are you going to see the guys
quads? It's such a hard, hard question. Well, let us know what you guys think. Maybe this is one of the good ones to let us know on some feedback. Give us some idea of what you guys think
like,
is the right
the
way
player,
to do it.
What would you, how would you go about?
That's super weird.
Calling these guys out. Or not.
I don't know what I would do. I don't know what I would do. Anyways, thank you for listening to episode 27, Tournament Directors Edition, second level course, 200 level course, plus the bonus Beyond the Rule Books with Brandon and Ken.
All in call, muck, muck.
All in call, muck, muck.
I can't get over it. How funny it is.
Yeah. Just a look of shock on the players' faces. What happened? I went all in, he called, and then both players, both hands got mucked by the dealer? Ah. Okay.
Okay, cool. Simple answer here. Replay.
Perfect. Why don't you just tell me what cards you had, you know? All right, aces. Me too. Okay. I guess then we're just going to chop it up. Oh, boy. Make sure you hit that 5-star review, everybody. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts if you're an Apple Podcast listener. If you're on Spotify, hit that follow button or wherever you are, try to subscribe to us. We would greatly appreciate it. Share us with your poker playing friends. Let us know if you have any questions at @theoverlay_pod on Twitter. Brandon, can you sign us off again? You did a great time last week.
What did I do last week? No nits allowed?
It was literally an hour. Yeah. No nits allowed. No chops. We're implementing the no chops and more rake is better.
Oh, yeah. That's what it was. More rake is better.
More rake is better, everybody. We will see you next week. Thanks for listening. Catch you next time. Bye.